Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
If I've heard it once, I've heard it several times during this period of lockdown, where people have said, we want to come out of this different than when we went in. People have asked me, what's it going to look like? I really don't know. That's above my pay grade for sure. But one of the things that I've really been asking God is that I can learn some lessons from lockdown. So over these next couple of weeks, we are going to be sharing with you some things that perhaps God has said to us. We pray that it resonates with you. That when we come through this, and I believe we will, by God's grace, there are things that we are going to learn. I went into the supermarket the other day. I was advised when I went through the door that they were operating a one-way system. No problem with that. Please keep your distance, sir. Yeah, I can manage that. Headed down an aisle, no problem. Aisle two, no problem. Stepped into aisle three, got partially down, and then realized that this is not where I needed to be. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I started to turn around and go against the flow of the traffic. And I'm caught in this scenario where I'm like, what do I do? It's just a couple of steps back. I know I should go all the way around, but maybe I'll just take this shortcut. And then my mind vividly, quickly went back to, I guess it was in the 90s, some of you will remember this, when you had this bracelet that a lot of the teenagers were wearing, and it just simply said this, WWJD. What would Jesus do? The purpose, of course, of these bracelets was to remind us to be kind and compassionate, to make the right choices in life. And here I was in the middle of the supermarket, about to turn, and I thought, what would Jesus do? Or what is the right thing to do? Sometimes our head knows what we should do and decides what we should do. But sometimes I've discovered this. It's our heart that shows us how we should do it. Someone said to me a wee while ago, Neil, what's some of the great lessons you've learned in life? And it's simply this. Yes, my head knows and will tell me what to do. But it's my heart that keeps me right. Guard your heart, because it's your heart that will show you how to do it. So one of the lessons that I've been learning from this lockdown is this message of looking at Jesus and revisiting the Gospels again. How did Jesus conduct himself on earth? How did he handle things? How did he navigate people and circumstance and life? Because if I want to look to him as my example, which of course I do, then maybe I just need to revisit and discover again and get the heart of God. You see, sometimes, I'll be honest, it's easier for me to take the shortcuts. Sometimes it's easier for me to take the easy road. But I've discovered this, that when it comes to the miracles of God, and I've been looking at this again just through the Gospels of John, and I've seen something, and this is what I've entitled the sermon. My hands, but it's got to be his heart. Did you catch that? My hands, but it's got to be his heart. Listen to what we read in John 1:18. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Some of the other translations puts it this way. He has made him known. He has declared him. He has taken him out in the open where he may be seen. So where does Jesus go? How does he conduct himself? How does he interact with the people? If we are Christians, follower of Christ, then we will see that he invites us to be part of the miracles of life. My hands, but his heart. I want to take you on a wee journey right now. So let's go into John chapter 2. John chapter 2 is the first miracle that Jesus ever performed. Where did it happen? It was in a young couple's home where they are getting married. It was a marriage, a great celebration. Of course, we know right now that that services are being canceled all over the place. But the first miracle was performed in a young couple's home, and they faced a situation which could have been of great embarrassment, not only to them, but to their parents, because what happened was they ran out of wine. Now, that was a big deal in those days, especially at a marriage ceremony. What's interesting is Jesus involves himself in a young couple's world where they could have been faced with a situation of lack. What did Jesus do? He turned the water into wine. What's interesting is before he even performed that miracle, his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he asks you to do, do it." Jesus is so interesting in this because Jesus could have done that all on his own. But through his mother, there was an invitation for the servants to get involved in the miracle. It was their hands, but it was the heart of God. And perhaps right into your home right now, perhaps you're a young couple that are facing lack. There's concern because of COVID-19. You're facing perhaps a lack in finance. You wonder how you're going to be able to pay that mortgage. You're facing a situation where you say, we need God to get involved in our situation right now. We need divine intervention. God, we need your help. Here's the good news. Into a young couple's home, he came. But take a step forward. It's not now John chapter 2, it's John chapter 3. Jesus walks the corridors of a young couple's home, but he also walks the corridor of religion. The Bible tells us that there was a man, his name is Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus by night. He's a religious man, but he comes because perhaps he doesn't want to be seen with Jesus at this time or this season. Maybe that's you. Maybe, my friend, you've logged in and you've come and you found us here, Apex Church Online, and perhaps you know about God, but maybe you're one of these seekers, but in the secret. You've maybe come because you can hide behind your computer, and that's great, and I love that. I love the fact that Nicodemus came to Jesus. And he says to him, "Master, Rabbi," he knows that Jesus has come from God. He says, "No man could do the miracles except he come from God." And Jesus says these words to him, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." You see, here's the wonderful thing about salvation. When Jesus Christ came and died on that cross, he paid the price so that we could have the relationship with God. Jesus did his part, his heart. But here's our hands. We've got to play a part. You see, it's not enough to know that Jesus has come from God. He was challenged. Nicodemus was challenged by Jesus. Nicodemus, you've got to do something. You must be born again. You must respond. You see, that's the good news of the gospel. And my friend, you're watching me right now. I wonder, do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with him? You see, the Father's heart is this, that none should perish. But we have a responsibility. And the Bible just simply says that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that later on as I come to the conclusion of this talk. But not only does Jesus walk in the home of a young family, not only does Jesus walk the corridors of religion, but here we have, let's go into John chapter 4. You've all heard the story of the Good Samaritan. This is the story of the Bad Samaritan. Let me help you if you don't know the story. The Bible says about Jesus that he needs must go through Samaria. Now, this is a region that normally Jews would not travel through. The Samaritans were thought less of. They were despised by all people, especially by the Jews. The Jews would do anything to avoid Samaria. In fact, they would go the long way around so that they could avoid that place. But isn't it amazing that Jesus avoids no place? He goes into Samaria because he has a divine appointment. He's weary, he's tired, he's now by a well. A woman comes on the scene, she's a Samaritan. Jesus asks her for a drink. She's confused. You see, normally the Jews would not have any dealings with the Samaritans, so she says, "Why are you a Jew asking of me, a Samaritan, for a drink?" You see, this woman has not only been used to rejection because she's a Samaritan, but we discover that she's been married 5 times and she's living with number 6. I don't know what her backstory is. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we know that this is a woman with a background. This is a woman with a history. This is a woman who has experienced rejection in her life. Here's the heart of God. Jesus reaches out to her and says, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would have asked of me a drink. She then goes into a discussion of where they should worship, because the Jews worshipped in a different place to where the Samaritans worshipped. She's now deflecting, because sometimes when we've been used to rejection, we build barriers around us. And she then goes into this discussion about where do you worship. And Jesus nailed it, because he says, listen, it's not so much about where you worship, but who you worship and how you worship. This woman was so taken aback by what Jesus said. She ran back into her village and says, come see a man. Could you imagine how well that must have gone down in a small town? This was a woman that was known for being around men. You see, the part of God was this, his heart. Ask of me, and I will give you water that you never thirst again. Her part was, she ran into the village and says, come and see a man. The Bible says that the village came out to see Jesus and to hear Jesus. And their testimony was this. Now we believe, not because of what you said, lady, but because we've heard and seen ourselves. The heart of God. But that woman was involved in the miracle of many coming to know him. Let's take one step further into John chapter 6. Now it's the feeding of the 5,000. Many of people are following after Jesus. They have seen his miracles. They want to see another miracle. They're excited. The blind eyes are opened. The lame, they walk. And Jesus looks over this crowd, and knowing exactly what he's going to do, he says to Philip, he says, where could we get bread to feed this crowd? Philip sort of looks to Jesus and says, wait a minute, where could we get enough bread? Where could we get enough money to feed this massive congregation? Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, he's there. You see, here we go. The heart of God, but the hands of man. And Andrew says, hey, there's a little boy here. He has his packed lunch with him. He has 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but I don't know how far that will go. What is that amongst so many? You can almost hear the, wait a minute, there's no way that that's even going to go around all us disciples. Jesus, perhaps it's enough for you and this little boy, but what is this? You see, in the hands of the boy, it was nothing more than a packed lunch. It was a meal. But in the hands of Jesus, it was a miracle. And this little boy played his part. He gave the simple loaves and fishes to Jesus. What did he do? Jesus made the men sit down. They reckon there was over 5,000. He then prayed over it. He broke that simple lunch. And the disciples began to distribute it until everyone had more than enough to eat. Then Jesus says something that always amazes me. He said to the disciples, go and gather up all the fragments. I don't want anything left, nothing wasted. And I get this sense that God's saying to us in this midst of lockdown, let's not waste anything. What is God saying to us? How is God dealing with our hearts so that as we come through this, we can get the heart of God, but we can use our hands to make a difference in our homes, in our communities, in our business place, in our workplace, wherever God has put you. They gathered up that fragments. The Bible says there were 12 baskets that were left. Could you imagine when that little boy went home and told his parents what had happened? I guess you would be like me. You would turn to that little boy and you would say, behave yourself. That little boy had the joy of knowing that his simple lunch was all that God needed to perform a miracle. The heart of God was to meet the needs, but he used the hand of man to be part of the miracle. And I want to say to you, God is speaking to me, lessons from lockdown. I see that Jesus went into a home of a young couple. He walks the corridor of religion, or perhaps people that have an interest in him, but don't fully understand everything about him. He goes and he meets with a woman by a well that most people would have nothing to do with. And she played her part in the spreading of the gospel. In John chapter 6, we read about the feeding of the 5,000. That a little boy, his hands, here's my lunch. God's heart, let's meet some needs. And I believe today that God is helping you to learn lessons from lockdown. He's speaking right into your home right now. And I'm asking that God will challenge you. In fact, would you come on, just close your eyes with me. And what is God saying to you? How is he challenging you? How is he speaking through this period of isolation? Perhaps you're wondering, God, where are you? Perhaps you're wondering, is God interested in me? The heart of God is reaching out. And I'm believing that when we come through this, that our hands will be used for his glory. Perhaps you're listening to my voice right now, and you're like Nicodemus. Perhaps you know about God, or perhaps you know a couple of scriptures or songs, but you don't have a relationship with him. You see, Nicodemus knew about him, but now he was invited to have a relationship with him. I want to encourage you, my friend, you can have a relationship with Jesus. Today, you can discover the heart of God so that moving forward, God can use your hands for his glory. If you're listening to my voice right now and you don't have that relationship, but you would say, Neil, today, I want to commit my life to Jesus. I want to pray with you right now in the quietness of your home, in the privacy of where you are. Would you repeat after me? I believe that the Bible says that we have to play our part. Oh, there's nothing we can do to add to salvation. But Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open that door, I will come in. God's heart, man's hands. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but you are my Savior. I ask you to come into my heart right now. Forgive me of my sins. And help me to live a life that is in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we would love to hear from you. This is only the start of your journey. And you need to connect. You know, the Bible says we confess with our mouth. It's so important that you tell someone this good news. The gospel is good news. And we would love if you would connect with us beyond just online, if you would get in touch through our website and let us know that you've responded to that prayer, and then we can connect with you and help you in your journey with Jesus. The best decision that you could ever make is that decision of coming to know him.